To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of blue skies over what we are calling Out West Boulder comes to us from a currently unknown Facebook friend who shared this scene while out hiking in some currently unknown state or national park and shared it on social media on or around April 7th, 2021. If this photo is yours, give me a heads up and I'll update the blog to give you the photo credit you deserve after the fact. Well, it's Wednesday and I shared today's photo to continue cleaning house of the unknown photos in my iPhone's photo archive to visually represent our arrival at another hump day and to encourage those of us out there who seem to be going around the mountain of the same old problems over and over again. After experiencing a significant breakthrough in my battle with food addiction and my physical health, I continue to struggle with consistency with my food plan and keeping the change, because this struggle doesn't really allow for indulgences or taking a break. The way to victory and progress over addictions of any kind is the elimination, not moderation, of the things that keep you in bondage, and in not arguing for your rights as much as submitting to your responsibilities of staying constant in your decision not to give in to the things that can be seemingly harmless, that are a stronghold of pattern or conditioned thinking and behavior that may bring a measure of pleasure but go contrary to your physical, mental, and spiritual health. We tend to have a love-hate relationship with the objects of our addictions, but just like any bad relationship, the hard truth is that we won't know joy or peace that we could have unless we end it. We have to see the object of our addiction for the toxic thing that it is, toxic for us specifically, and say goodbye to it. As I have examined my weaknesses in the battle against my food addiction, I have developed the insight that my specific triggers seem to fall into two categories, which I have codified as the sweet and the eat, or the sweets and the eats. The sweets, I noticed that perhaps my biggest weakness is sweet dessert-like foods. Cake, cookies, ice creams, candy, and soda have all been recognized as things I crave and have no real self-control over when I indulge in. If I eat these foods, just one is not enough, and I will generally consume these foods until all of whatever is present is gone. And I also notice that when I give in to these foods, there is a yearning for them the next day. The eats refers to pigging out, basically. I don't know if it's because I love to comfort myself with feeling full, or if it's a byproduct of being brought up in a clean your plate or eating and snacking as good environment during my childhood, but as I have done battle with food addiction, I've noticed that I have a tendency to eat all I can, meaning I don't really gauge what I eat based on feelings of hunger. I eat up to the limit of what my food plan allows. And if I discover that there's still caloric or carb money to spend near the end of the day, I'll enthusiastically pick out things to spend all my food budget on. The eats is essentially the urge to pig out with reckless abandon, to mindlessly eat without thinking about what is being consumed or without caring, demanding my rights to quote-unquote enjoy life or quote-unquote treat myself, when in fact this behavior will be regretted later because it goes contrary to my health goals, and it also has the weight of pain, physically sometimes and mentally, as I feel like a failure. Knowing is half the battle, so having these insights and naming them, the sweet and the eat, is good, but as with any insight or any new information that comes our way, they are only valuable if we learn from them experientially, and they cause us to recognize these areas of weakness and make changes to not be subject to them any longer. With the stress around things that have been happening in my family, I stress ate on Monday, a big sweet and eat binge. And although I was on plan yesterday. I am writing about this today to speak out loud what I have learned, to remind myself to avoid these traps and to try to end these relationships with the sweet and the eat by not demanding my right to do wrong anymore. And this struggle, indulgences are costly, and I want to be free of the pain that these conditioned patterns of thinking and behavior bring to my life. So, I repent. It's the season of repentance, by the way, Lent. And speaking of Lent, it's the 31st day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindel's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. And this walkthrough of Grindel's devotional, and it's our hope that we get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, Easter. We're getting closer. Palm Sunday, Sunday, this Sunday, and the following Sunday is Easter, so we're there. Journey day 31, Martin Luther writes, "May your will come about on earth as in heaven." How does this come about? Answer. Whenever God breaks and hinders every evil scheme and will, as are present in the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh, that would not allow us to hallow God's name and would prevent the coming of his kingdom. And instead, whenever God strengthens us and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith until the end of our lives, this is his gracious and great will. What we pray for concerns only ourselves in that we ask that whatever or what otherwise might be done without us may also be done in us. Just as God's name must be hallowed and his kingdom must come even without our prayer, so must his will be done and prevail even though the devil and all his host bluster, storm, and rage furiously against it in their attempt to exterminate the gospel utterly. But we must pray for our own sake so that his will may be done also among us without hindrance, in spite of their fury, so that they may accomplish nothing and we may remain steadfast against all violence and persecution and submit to the will of God. That was from Martin Luther. And today's biblical wisdom comes from Luke 11, 17 through 20, where the word of God says, "But he knew what they were thinking, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself becomes a desert, and the house falls on house. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out the demons by Beelzebub, or Beelzebub, yeah. But now if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do you and your exorcists cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you." That was Luke 11, 17 through 20. And at this point, the devotion recommends silence for meditation. So you should take a few moments to sit and ponder what the Word of God says there, and what Martin Luther had to say about the will of God in our lives. And when you're ready, you can stop meditating and listen to the answers to this, the questions that we'll ponder today. The first question is, Luther understood that as a Christian or church that seeks to be faithful to God's will, Luther understood that a Christian or church that seeks to be faithful to God's will can expect to experience violence and persecution. Why is this so? What evidence of this do you see in the world? As we talked about yesterday, as we know, the world, the flesh, and the devil oppose the will of God from being done. And when we persist to do what is right according to God's word and share the gospel of Jesus Christ specifically, we can expect persecution. I personally have lost relationships and have suffered mild persecution because of my faith. As for evidence in the world, according to opendoorsus.org, 13 Christians were killed per day for a total of 4,998 deaths in 2023. So persecution is real. throughout the world. And I'm sharing a link to the persecution trends from opendoorsus.org on the blog if you'd like to learn more. Let's see, we move along to the next question. In what ways might a community of faith work together to discern the will of God for them? Well, the best way to discern the will of God is to regularly read the Bible, obey its principles for living, and by praying to the Lord for guidance. And that moves us along to the third question, which is, can God's will ever be thwarted? Because God is sovereign, his will is never thwarted. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, but we are limited in our understanding of how pain and suffering can be a part of God's will and think that those things and the evil in this world somehow negates God's will. But we must realize that those things are a rightful judgment or consequence on a world that has been broken by sin and can be used by God to bring people to him. His ways are higher than our ways. Faith is about trusting that what happens in life is under God's sovereign control and ultimate will. That moves us along to today's Psalm fragment, which is Psalm 77, 13 through 15. And the Word of God says, "Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." And now we move on to the journal reflections, which directs us to write about in your own life. Write about how in your own life you try to discern the will of God. Yeah. Well, God's Word and the Holy Spirit lead me into truth and guide me into repentance. And as for the direction of my life, I pray for the Lord to show me what to do next. I'm not always sure about where my life in Christ will take me, but I try to be faithful to seek the Lord every day and follow what I believe that he wants me to do. And the next prompting asks, have you ever prayed your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as a source of courage and strength in resisting the enemy and following God's will? If so, write about the experience and if it was helpful. If not, write about whether it seems a useful spiritual practice. Why not try it? Oh yeah, the Lord's Prayer has been used to give me strength and courage all the time. Leaning on the Lord to help me out of the darkness of my addictions and negative mind states has worked because I have tried to surrender to do his will with the way I live my life. So yeah, I pray that prayer all the time. The Lord's Prayer, whenever I'm in a precarious situation, I pray the Our Father. Maybe it's an old Catholic thing or whatever, but it's a Word of God thing too. So I don't want to say it's a talisman or whatever, but it brings you right to the throne of grace by speaking the words that Jesus taught us to speak in prayer to the Lord, so I would never dismiss anyone for praying that prayer to receive strength and guidance and to, really surrender to the Lord's will. Your will be done. In fact, I even change it to your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'll throw in my life, and in my life as it is in heaven, So it's a great spiritual practice. So you should try it. If you don't do it already. Anyway, we move along to have you ever found yourself working against God's will? If so, how did you come to realize it? If not, can you imagine yourself working against God's will? Sin is against God's will. So yes, I found myself working against God's will in many ways. His word revealed to me what sin is and that a righteous life is important to him. The conviction of the Holy Spirit has caused me to turn from the ways I have lived in the past and moves me to continually seek God and his will for my life. So that's, let's not work against God's will. let's do his will instead. And we move on to the prayers for the life of faith. And they ask us to pray that the will of God may also be done in you, and ask forgiveness for times in which you may have, as a sinful creature, opposed God's will. So let's pray. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for all the times I have gone against your will. And I pray that your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. I ask for your forgiveness and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me, to give me the strength and wisdom to walk in your ways. Amen. And today's prayer for today is, Almighty God, may your will be done on earth as in heaven, and may it also be done in me. Amen. All right, that completes our 40-day journey. Well, the 31st day of our 40-day journey. And now we move on to today's Bible verse, which comes to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verse is Ecclesiastes 4:6. And the Word of God says, better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls of toil and striving after wind. Today's verse is the third of three passages of Scripture that fall under the 15th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that 15th point is, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Today's verse describes the ways of this world as two handfuls of toil and striving after wind, alluding to the chasing after worldly wealth that will one day slip from our grasps when we die, showing us how futile the accumulation of wealth and seeking after circumstantial happiness is. Quietness, peace, is the opposite, and only true peace, and the only true peace can come, we can have in this world, comes from having peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, where we can be assured of the forgiveness of our sins and of life everlasting. So stop striving and toiling after the wind and follow the Holy Spirit into the quiet ways of peace, love, and joy that are found in the presence of the Lord and a life surrendered to his will. As always, we invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in his devotionals, Alford invites us to read a chapter of Scripture. Today's chapter is Luke 20, and from Luke 20, he shares a portion of Luke 20, 35, which says, those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead. And Alford writes, counted worthy, what a blessed expression, especially when I consider on what grounds I shall be counted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection. By nature, there is none who does good, Romans 3:12. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. In flesh, nothing good dwells, Romans 7:18. But on the grounds of the atoning work and person of the Lord Jesus, I have been accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. Not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of Christ. Therefore, I have been counted worthy to be a partaker of the inheritance in light, to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead. And all for praise, I am a sinner, and yet he counts me worthy. Blessed be his name. Amen. Yeah, blessed be his name. We're only worthy because of Christ. Nothing we can do can make us worthy or accepted. We can't buy our way into heaven, but we don't have to. The Lord paid the cost for all our sins on the cross, and in this season of Lent, that's what we're supposed to recognize, our total dependence on Jesus Christ to save us, and, you know, the appropriate response to the gift of salvation is a life of obedience and love for the Lord. Yeah, the obedience comes after the love for the Lord. We don't do his will just to be good. Well, we do his will because we love him, and we want to be a good and faithful servant to God who saved us and adopted us into his family. So yeah, Let's do that. And that's everything for today. I would encourage any man listening to really consider joining the Peter Markavich's Way of Escape, Freedom in Christ course that he's offering. We have a blog post about that, and we've shared it on Facebook. Last night we had our first meeting, and Peter's just a faithful man of God, and he's been led to lead Conqueror series for sexual addiction, and in this course, he's doing the Freedom in Christ course with an emphasis on sexual addiction. So if you're a man and that's part of your struggle, and for most men it is, I would greatly encourage you to basically look up on the blog The Way of Escape and join Peter's group. It's never too late to join, and we only did the introductory course last night. So it's really the best of both worlds. You know, it's meeting your specific needs and teaching all about freedom in Christ. So, I highly recommend it. For anyone who made it this far in the podcast, today's another day in the kingdom. It's Wednesday, and I'm walking in victory and just trying to stay there. So we're gonna pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for helping us overcome yesterday and staying on plan. Lord, help us to stand plan with the way we eat and the way we walk through this world. We just want to do your will, Lord, but we need your help to do that on earth. Lord, we also pray for anyone who's listening, that you'd come alongside them in their prayer request, their walk of faith, to help them. We pray specifically for Peter Markavich and his family, that they'd be blessed. You know the situations that are happening there, and you know the work that Peter's trying to do through the Freedom in Christ course. So we just pray for you to bless Peter in a major way. And Lord, for me, we just pray for you to go before us today, open our eyes to the things you want us to see, and lead us in the way we should go. We want you to know, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.